feel like we've come to have church today.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Matter of fact, I kind of feel like we're just kind of picking up on where we left off Wednesday night.
Yeah.
Yes. What a group of the Holy Ghost that we had in this place on Wednesday evening. And I encouraged you then to let's just kind of pick it up on Sunday morning. So here we are.
Yes.
And I felt it in prayer. I said, I felt it in prayer.
Yeah.
And y'all were praying good. Yes. And then here we are in our worship and stuff. It feels so good. Feels so
Amen.
Good to be in the house of the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. I'm ready for God to do some things.
Yes.
Are you ready for the Lord to talk to our hearts?
Yes.
Hallelujah. I've come ready and prepared for God to do something in us, through us, about us, and around us. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. So good to see every one of our guests with us today. God bless you. Thank you so much for being a part of our worship this morning here at Souls Harbor Apostolic Church.
Amen.
And for those of you that this may be your first time, it's the first time I've seen some of you folks. So if you're here for your first time, I am not the pastor. I did that for 20 years in Macon, Georgia, and now I am a country and western evangelist. That's where I love them and leave them. So we've been here for the last couple of weeks, and we're going to love y'all, and when Pastor gets back, we're going to leave y'all. Amen. So good to be here today, though. We have enjoyed being here for our fourth week now. We're excited about what God's doing. And excited about what He's going to do in the house today. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You ready to have church?
Yes.
Praise God. The book of Philippians, the third chapter. The book of Philippians, the third chapter. We'll also be reading, once you get Philippians, the third chapter, you will move over to the book of Exodus, the 12th chapter. Put your finger there. Amen. Hallelujah. The book of Philippians, the third chapter. A couple verses, very familiar verses that I'm sure that we have heard read, preached from many times. Book of Philippians, the third chapter, two verses of scripture, verse 13. If you haven't, say praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Ooh, that sounds good. Philippians 3 and 13. Brethren, Paul said, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before.
Amen.
I press toward the mark.
Yes.
For the prize.
Yes.
Of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Everybody said, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
The book of Exodus, the 12th chapter. The book of Exodus, the 12th chapter. Verse number 1. Book of Exodus, chapter 12. Verse number 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. And you know what? I have never noticed this until just a moment ago when I was reading these verses. Now, you know, last Sunday we got out a little bit early, and matter of fact, I even heard that they were just starting the lesson when they heard me give the altar call. So, in other words, I let y'all out a little bit too early last Sunday. So, I'm going to try to not make that mistake today, and I'm going to preach about 2 hours. I promise you that ain't gonna happen. So don't nobody get nervous. But I just noticed. The Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt. My Lord. This was a land that they were captive in. This was a land where that there was no worship of the one true God. It was almost like it was another country from what they were accustomed to. They were in bondage. Matter of fact, everywhere that you read in the scripture is very symbolic. Egypt is symbolic of sin. So you can find that Egypt, if it represented sin, that while they were still in their sin, God spoke unto them. My Lord, I believe that God's come to speak to some of us.
Amen.
It doesn't matter what you've been involved in, has been, doesn't matter where you come from, God wants to reach down and He wants to speak to us today. Amen.
Amen.
Let's lift our hands and our hearts toward the Lord right now. Let's ask Him to add His blessings. Gracious God, we're so thankful today for Your presence. We're so thankful today that we know You, that we're able to call upon the greatest name, the name of Jesus. I'm thankful today, God, that we are all gathered together in one mind and one accord today, God. I'm thankful today that there's people of God that have walked in this house. God, that they're hungry to hear Your word. And God, they're hungry to feel Your presence today. And I'm asking right now that You would quicken our minds and our hearts together. Bring us together in one mind and one accord. Give us ears that we may hear today. Give us a heart that we may receive the good word of the Lord. In the name of Jesus. And today, God, before these lights are turned out, I pray, God, that You would have moved in such a beautiful way today that we can leave this place saying, surely the presence of the Lord was in that house. God, we love You and we magnify You today in Jesus' name. Let's put our hands together and give Him a good today, and before we leave this house, that we will not only be able to say that it was a simple statement, but I believe that God is going to so impress us today that it is going to be a profound statement when we leave. God is not looking, this is the statement, God is not looking for a perfect people.
Right.
He's just looking for a repentant heart.
Amen.
Now that's about as deep as we're going to get today.
Yeah.
Amen? Amen. God's not looking for a perfect people. He's just looking for a repentant heart. The Bible begins to talk, and you find where that numerous times that it makes reference to sinners. It makes reference to sin. It talks about those that are lost. It talks about those that are wayfaring. It talks about the ones that are strangers and pilgrims on the earth. And the Bible even makes a statement, and it says that there are none perfect, no, not one. Right. Can I tell you today that if there has ever been a statement that is true, it is that statement right there. That is true. There's none of us today that are perfect.
Right.
Matter of fact, you can look at every one of us, and we can begin to question one another about the type of week that we've had. We can question one another about the type of days that we've had, the type of days that we've had on our job. And I believe that every one of us can look back and we can point a finger at a place that something happened this week. Maybe we said something. Maybe we did something. Maybe we thought something. That immediately there was something about the power of God that was within us, and the Spirit of God that dwelt within us, that it quickened our heart to let us know that our attitude and our spirit and our action was wrong.
Amen.
Amen. Anybody had that time this week? Oh my goodness, yeah. You know what? We're not a perfect people.
That's right.
We mess up. We make mistakes.
Yes.
But I'm thankful today that God's grace. It's bigger than the earth. Mistakes. Yeah. Aren't you thankful for his mercy today? Hallelujah. We're in and we're surrounded by this flesh of imperfection. We live in an imperfect world. So what God needs in this imperfect world is a repentant heart. He needs somebody that will say, Jesus, I'm sorry. Will you forgive me? It seems as if you and I spend a whole lot more time worrying about our past than we do thinking of our future. Matter of fact, we go through life with all types of regrets. We go through life and go through the week and the day. If only I would have done this. If only I would have done that. I understood at a very, very young age that if is not only just a small word, but you find that if, when you begin to look at all that it encompasses, you find that if is a very large and has a very influential part of our life. Because every day it seems as if we begin to start off many of our sentences as we begin to reflect on what we have done and what we have not done. And we begin to say, if only, if only, if only. Can I tell us tonight, today, that we need to realize that there is absolutely nothing that we can do to change our past. There's nothing that you and I can do that can change it or rewrite our past. But we can change our present. And by changing our present, we change our future. Oh, come on. I'm preaching to somebody today. I said you can change your present. And by changing your present, you will change your future by having a repentant heart. That's why the Apostle Paul was able to say in our scripture reading today, he said in Philippians, the third chapter, he said, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth into those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus our Lord. Can I tell you today that while we are not a perfect people, the reason that we're able to walk inside the house of God and clap our hands is not because we didn't commit any sin this week. It's not because we didn't fall. It's not because we didn't stumble. It's not because we were perfect. But the reason that we can walk inside the house of God and we can lift our hands and we can magnify Him and we can lift up holy hands unto Him is because we've gone someplace to an altar and we've asked God to forgive us of our sins. We've asked God to bless us. Of God without the baptism of the Holy Ghost. God wants to fill you with the Holy Ghost. If you walk in this place today with a life that is sin laden, let me tell you, before God leaves this house or before we leave this house today, God wants to reach down. And if you just say, forgive me, Jesus, you know what He'll do? He'll reach down and forgive you. I said, He'll reach down and forgive you. Close as the mention of His name. Everybody say Jesus.
Jesus.
Everybody say Jesus.
Jesus.
John 7:2-1 of 1 John. He said, my little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. He said, I really wish that you wouldn't sin. I really wish that you would forget about your past and you would forget about the sin that you've committed. He said, and if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He said, it is my heart's desire is that you don't sin. But if you do sin, there is someone that you can go to. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He said, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to
else that we could do on Sunday morning. It's not because we didn't have any other place that we could go on Sunday morning. But I believe that the reason that we've come to this house today is that there's somebody in our midst that's hungry for a closer walk with God. You're hungry for God. Undeserving that you are of the forgiveness of God. And you're right, we are undeserving of it. But let me tell you today, while we were yet sinners, the Bible says Christ died for us. I said, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That means that he must have loved us while we were still in our sin. He didn't love us.
Psalm
He said, the Lord is merciful and gracious. He's slow to anger, plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not, listen to this, he hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens is higher than the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Some years ago, and I'm going to run a good message right here. Some years ago, I stepped to our pulpit and God had given to us a message for that Sunday morning. I'll never forget stepping to the pulpit and the title of the message that I was about to preach. I knew that it would get people's attention immediately. I read these scriptures where that David said in verse number 10 that he hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. And on that Sunday morning, with people sitting there in that house, in that sanctuary in Macon, Georgia, I'll never forget, as I stepped to the pulpit, I read the scriptures and I gave my title. And the title was simply this: God's Not Fair. About the same silence that I met with right there. God's not fair. Matter of fact, I had 40% black in our church, and oh man, they would get with me and help me preach. We would run, shout, dance. They'd get moving in the Spirit of the Lord. I loved it. And one of my utterly black man, Brother Davis, was sitting over on my left on the front pew where he always sat. And when I said, God's not fair, he went, well, what are we going to hear today? Well, can I tell you today, it's been probably 15 years since I preached that message, but can I tell you, I still believe that God's not fair. Hallelujah. Let me explain myself like David explained himself. He said, God hath not rewarded us according to our iniquity. God hasn't dealt with us according to our sin. Can I tell you, if God was fair, we would all have been struck dead. If God was fair, we would all be sinful. If God was fair, he would have knocked us out when we sinned. If God was fair, he would all be taking us in our sin. But because he's not fair, because he's merciful, you know what he does? He gives us another day. He gives us another chance. He gives us another opportunity.
Getting back up. Let me tell someone today, don't be
be the man or the woman that just simply falls and stays there, but be the one that the Bible talks about.
Hallelujah.
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 right now that you're going to turn the preacher off for about the next 15 minutes.
Hallelujah.
Will you do that?
Jesus.
I want you to turn me off for the next 15 minutes. And I want you to begin to talk to God.
Hallelujah.
And I want you to ask God that He impress His word upon every individual that is in this building right now. I just want two or three people. Just two or three people. The Bible says where two or three are gathered together in my name, that there am I in the midst of them. It says where two or three agree touching any one thing, that He'll do it. I'm asking somebody. I'm asking some saints of God today that your concern is for lost souls. Your concern is for the people in your city. Your concern is for your neighbor. Your concern is for somebody that's sitting down the road from you today. And you'll say, God, I want to touch you. And God, right now, as I center my mind and my heart and my thoughts upon you, I'm asking you to give a liberty in this place. I'm asking God that you give a freedom in this place. I'm asking God that you would touch somebody's heart. Come on. It's not how many times you have stumbled. It's not how many times that you have fallen. It's not how many times that you have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But it's all in how many times that you will get up and you will brush the sentiment of failure off and you will begin to walk again. I'm preaching to somebody today that you've been down on your knees because you've fallen and you stumbled with your walk with God. Ask Him to forgive us. Let's lift our hands.